for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
MassMEP understands that there are so many elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or unlocking their growth that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations.
Every episode, take a journey with us as we talk with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts.
Whether we're in the Northeast,
Southeast,
Central, or Western regions of the Commonwealth,
every episode will explain more about manufacturing and what's happening in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Kevin Tata.
I had a little, almost like holiday tune in my head when I said that. Almost started breaking into a Christmas carol.
What specific Christmas carol were you feeling?
I don't know. I was almost just starting to come up with my own Christmas carol. I was almost going to try and pull Mariah Carey and pull one out that would be around for decades to come and would make gazillions of dollars off of. And then I realized I actually can't sing, so I just said my name instead.
I think you got it in you.
Yeah.
I do. Yep.
Well, maybe we'll work on that for the new year in 2025.
For the holiday episode, we'll get something together.
We'll do a little caroling.
Yeah, I won't set any promises, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, we'll try. We'll do our best. Well, it is December. It is a big holiday month. Depending on how you practice or enjoy or celebrate the holidays, it could be a variety of different ways. But obviously, December and January are the two biggest months for the holiday season. So happy holidays to everybody that's listening. And our guests with us today, our first time guests with us, and we're here to talk a little bit about our workforce development team that is now a big part of who we are as an organization. And I'm going to introduce them. Before I do that, though, I want to make sure. So I'm going to introduce you. I can say your name, but I want to make sure I get your title right. So normally it's the other way around. Normally I know the title, but I can't pronounce the name. But this time I can pronounce the name because I've been very fortunate to hear her say it enough times that I can pronounce it properly. And so I would like to introduce you to Selena Digitano. Yeah, I got the shake. Yep, you got it. And Selena, you are a workforce development manager?
Program manager.
Program manager. I left a word out. So welcome, Selena, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. And Matt, yours is a little bit easier. So I would like to introduce you to Matt Berard. Matt, you are Associate Director of Workforce Development.
That's correct.
Super. Well, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So I know obviously nobody hears the behind the scenes because they're not on listening to that part, but Kevin's kind of gone over this with you. And hopefully you didn't talk to anybody else in the office, because anybody else that's in the office that has done these with us, they always say this is the hardest part of the podcast is the icebreaker question. Right, Kevin?
Some people do say that. We won't name names. Luckily for them, they're in the office alone today, so there was nobody in their head talking to them, you know. So we got right through that.
Okay, good. All right. Well, Matt.
When Kevin was talking to us about it, we just said, make sure you don't stump us, and we'll be fine.
Good luck. He said some good stumpers.
It's true. They said they knew where I sat. So we'll see what kind of question we got for today.
Oh, it's getting hostile in here.
I did sign my own the very first toaster for Mr. Matthew Berard. So exactly. Yes. So you got that in your back pocket.
All right. Well, Kevin, let's see what you got.
All right, without further ado, the icebreaker is pretty easy. I just want to know, have you ever met a celebrity, any sort of famous person? Mm-hmm. If you have, you can name who it is and tell us about the little greeting that you had with them. If not, What celebrity would you want to meet if you could pick one? One famous person, it could be a sports figure, it could be a movie star, it could be whatever. If you could pick one person,
I have met Jennifer Garner in the past. I was at this apple orchard in Stowe, and she just happened to be with Ben Affleck's parents and her kids apple picking at the same time.
whoa.
Wow. Was she as friendly as she appears to be, Selena?
Yes, very much so.
Very grounded and very down to earth, good human being.
Yeah.
That's
It's good to
awesome.
know because I feel like sometimes when you meet somebody that you've wanted to meet for so long, your expectations are so high. Not necessarily that you wanted to meet her for like all your life or whatever, but I know somebody that met George Lopez and they said it wasn't a great meeting.
No, that's too bad.
Right? So you always hope for a good meeting.
All right, Matt, what do you have?
Right. So I actually have met a few over my
Whoa.
long years of living. So I actually shook hands with Evel Knievel
Whoa.
back in the day. We're talking back in the day when Rhode Island Airport was like two gates big. But then I've actually met Chris Noth and I think it was Brian Baldwin. It was one of the younger Baldwin brothers.
Wow.
I've met them, and then I've met been lucky enough to meet some sports figures across my day. I met John Hanna and Steve Grogan from the Patriots.
Whoa.
And then I gotta say, I'll toot my nephew's horn, but I've been able to meet my nephew, who is now a professional hockey player with the New York Rangers. So I can say that now.
I've
Yeah.
heard about this. I've heard
Yes.
about this, not directly from you, but from other people in the office. So that's incredible. That's great.
Yeah, that's quite a good. You guys have some good stories on that. That's pretty interesting. Must have
Evel
been.
Knievel is
Yeah, it's
incredible.
really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking 70s.
So you were a wee child.
Well, little, yeah, little more than we, but yes, we.
What's that stage that comes after we, you
A
know?
wee child. You were a wee
The
child.
trouble stage. All
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's good.
the next stage was he met Evel Knievel and then started doing Evel Knievel stuff is what the next stage was.
How'd you figure that
Why do you think you met him?
That's good. I like that.
That is pretty cool. That is one I think that not a lot of people would be able to say that they've done. So that's a good one. I like it. Pretty cool. So we obviously are here today with you guys talking about workforce development, and we're fortunate enough that we've talked about this a lot on our side in the back end of things, and who we are and what we're doing and where we're going with things. And when we came together to put together a podcast for you to talk to and speak about, we wanted to make sure that everybody kind of understood what workforce development is and how it exists and how it's a part of MassMEP. Because in the past, we've dabbled, I would say, right, in pieces of workforce development and never really been able to have a full team that's been able to focus and kind of really get into the nitty-gritty of where this is heading for us as an organization and for the manufacturers. And I think if it's the one thing, there was a couple of things that we learned through the pandemic and that are still big components today that we have like this, I think we're past the hangover effect now, where now we're starting to get back to this, excuse me, reality of what we do today, and it's still workforce. And it's still a critical piece of it. We talked about supply chain as a part of it, workforce is a part of it, technology and almost sustainability, hence where we're going as an organization and what we're doing in the future. So that's why we wanted you guys to be in here. We did an introduction of you both as a team and welcomed you to MassMEP and kind of put that out there to the public, but we haven't been able to get you in a space where you've been able to speak to it. And so this is the platform we're, bringing you to in so you can talk to that. So, I mean, Kevin, you can get them. Let's ease them into it. Let's start with you, and we'll slowly ease them into the podcast process.
Yeah, so for all those people, for all those listeners to the podcast, for all those
Which are
people
a lot.
listening,
We have a lot, by the way, thousands. I mean,
too many to count. Too many to count. For all those people that may not know what exactly workforce development is, what would you tell them? What is workforce development?
well, that's a great question because workforce development is actually can be undefinable, at the same time as being defined. But workforce development in general is really just the building of services and programs to help train, motivate, and upskill individuals that are either entry-level candidates or incumbent workers that are already working within manufacturing. But what we try to bring to the table with our what we when we talk about workforce development, it's really about strategically working with the employer, listening to what their needs are, understanding those, and then helping to build training programs, right, for our entry-level workers that really fits the mold specific to their needs. And we've been able to do that with a lot of outreach and and research with the employers, and really upskill them, provide them new skills, give them some knowledge, give them some comfortability of working in manufacturing. So they're not just coming in with no knowledge whatsoever. They're coming in with the basic knowledge, as we'd like to call it. We're giving them a liberal arts understanding of manufacturing, right? And that only helps them to get going, get started, and then work their way through their careers and build a strong and illustrious career in manufacturing.
That's great. I love that.
What so Selena, we've been close in doing some things, and maybe you can elaborate more on this. Is talking about what support do you offer, to the manufacturers in the Commonwealth? And I say that in a way of, I think right now where you guys are, you're heading is what Matt just spoke to, as to you're kind of, I would say, almost cultivating the pipeline, right?
Yes. So right now, our big focus is developing a strong pipeline of talent from our training directly into the manufacturing facilities. And one of the great things about our training for employers is that when they do hire from us, it's at zero net cost. In addition to that, when they do recruit from our training, we will also pay the first 200 hours of their on-the-job training with them. So they don't have to worry about, the initial cost of having one of our trainees on. Our connection and support doesn't stop once they hire someone. We want to make sure that it is a hire that's going to be there for a long time, that has been successful. And so we follow employers and we follow up with them 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days after that initial hire. If they're looking for trainees and we don't happen to have somebody that's in their area, or would be, the best fit for that position, then that's when we reach out to our community partners and share their job leads. And extend our reach as much as we can so we can help them find good fits for their company.
That's great. So what are some of the projects that you guys are working through today that these manufacturers could kind of look forward to in the future that you want to kind of showcase?
Well, I think I can easily answer that, and I think Selena will be right on board with me saying, what projects aren't we working on currently to help the manufacturers across the state?
Good answer. Good answer.
we're really since we started, we really have engaged in connecting with the manufacturers and understanding their needs, like we said, And we've created and continued a pathway to production training program. Again, using the information we garnered from the manufacturers and built the trainings. And we have multiple cohorts going, and pretty soon we're going to have a lot going on all at the same time. But we are working with four specific groups currently. We are working with NextGen, which is a mass ability cohort, 18 to 22-year-olds, in training them in manufacturing. These are individuals that are looking to can go right to work. They don't want to go into secondary education. They want to go right into manufacturing. So they were identified, and we've put them through some trainings. We're also working with Blackstone Valley Hub with their Youth Works program. Again, working with 18 to 22-year-olds looking to go into a career in manufacturing. Then we're also working with our second chance workers out of two different county jails. We're working with Bristol County Sheriff's Office and Franklin County Sheriff's Office, identifying individuals that are going to be released and returning to the world of work. And many of these individuals have had previous manufacturing experience. So we're upskilling them, providing with OSHA 10 background, MACWIC background, Lean LEGO. So they're coming out upskilled. They're coming out and showing manufacturers they want to work, they're motivated to work, and we're providing them those opportunities. Then in the new year, we have multiple projects going on. Again, working with the same four groups we just mentioned, but we're also looking to expand. We're going to be working with the Department of Corrections on a grant training individuals, second chance workers, to re-enter into the manufacturing world upon release. Then we're going to be working with the veterans. We're going to have different cohorts with the veterans. We're going to have a combined men and women training, but we're also going to have specifically just a woman veterans training. That we're in the process of designing that will be happening over the course of next year. We're going to be working with the immigrant community in creating a training with them. And we're also going to be doing a woman's behind the wall or second chance work trainer to give the women that have been in jail the opportunity to learn a new skill and build a career upon release. I think I've hit everything but one. One we just got awarded. We just became awarded. We are now a registered pre-apprenticeship program that we're looking to start, and we're working with some of our local vo-techs and community colleges to, again, bring in new candidates into the world of manufacturing and really give them an overall view of manufacturing and where they could take this, whether it's go back to community college and taking a direct path into a different type or a specific type or specific path of manufacturing, or going right into the workforce, which then they could eventually get into our frontline supervisor apprenticeship program that we currently run at MassMEP. I think that's everything we got going on right now. Is that right, Selena?
That's right. You've got it all.
Well, all right. Well, it sounds like you're not very busy at all. So because of that, I think a lot of times what we like to do is we kind of like to give people the understanding of the method to our madness and why these programs kind of come to fruition and where they come from. But it really starts with the grassroots, and the grassroots that you two both implemented when you came into here was getting connected directly with the manufacturers. So while right now they're kind of hearing these programs and going, okay, what does this mean or where did this come from? You, when you first started, and you can elaborate on this a little bit more, you first started, you brought in this questionnaire, and you really went to the core of their workforce, almost like their pain points, right? To help. And that's where creating things like this is solutions. So walk us through and walk them through how all of this came to be from where that started to where these programs are that you just spoke about now.
So yeah, when we started, I mean, we wanted to really get to know specifically from the employers themselves, right? really get to know and understand what those needs are. And we created what we call the workforce hiring form that we send out once we get to know them first before we not just say, hey, Kevin, here's the workforce hiring, fill it out and I'll talk to you later. We get to know them first. And then during those conversations, whether it's one or two, we then introduce the workforce hiring form. So we get to know, again, what they're looking to hire, what are their hiring cycles, do they have, these accommodations, first shift, second shift, third shift. So it's a 39 questionnaire. I have to be careful with that. It's a questionnaire,
Correct.
but it's 39 questions, but it really only takes about 10 minutes to fill because we've put in the answers. So it's really just a, click off the correct answer for you with very minimal, fill in it yourself. But that information is so valuable for us. So when we're doing these trainings and we're understanding the candidates that are coming through, we're helping to create a better fit, right? So now we know what the manufacturers are looking for in a candidate, and we get to know who the candidates are and what are their skills, what are their strengths, what are some of their weaknesses, right? Areas to improve upon. And then we work it out and find out biggest issue, transportation, right? Transportation is an issue everywhere. But we want to make sure that these candidates can get there. So we use our information and the data we have at MassMEP to do a heat map. Again, in surrounding, we find out this person lives in Auburn, Mass, and we're going to go 10, 15, 20, 30, maybe 40 minutes away from their home. So they have the opportunity to get to that employer and be a successful, employee for that company. So that information, was really important. But more important than that is really the connection and engagement we now have with the manufacturers. Because at MassMEP, we have a lot of connections. Sometimes it's with the president, sometimes it's with the COO, sometimes it's with finance, sometimes it's with the operations managers. And we didn't always have that direct connection to the human resource team who does the hiring, right? So again, it was a process of using our internal connections at these manufacturers to get to that right person. Because manufacturers are busy. I mean, we know sometimes the presidents are also on the floor. Sometimes the president's also their HR person. So we're trying to minimize time of reading emails or answering phone calls by going directly and getting to that right person. All right. So then we can, slowly implement processes, talk about the different trainings we have, and see what we can do to generate that pipeline that we're trying to build and create, with our trainings.
I like that. So I'm going to ask you this question because a lot of people might have a similar question. And obviously, I think what I'm hearing is there was a gap, and there was a gap for when it came for obviously there's traditional, right? There's a traditional workforce, but there's support structures for that, right? They can go to maybe the mass hires or going to regular job fairs. So there was this gap of this non-traditional, what we call, or and that's what we call it, maybe you have a better term for that, workforce. And so is that kind of what you're seeing, and is that one of the other maybe push points as to why we're starting to, I mean, we it's not that we don't work with traditional, but is that really what happened, and that's why the focus kind of is on that right now in this moment?
I'll answer and I'll let Selena jump in too. I mean, we've that non-traditional workforce is really an area that we've learned about. Again, it's an untapped market. It's an untapped labor market that these manufacturers are not aware of. We're not just manufacturers, most employers are not aware of. And a lot of these untapped market candidates are candidates that have motivation, they have the skill, most importantly, and the desire to work and stay in the workforce. Some of these programs really show, all right, that this untapped market, the non-traditional workforce, tend to stay in the jobs longer because they want to be there. They've worked hard to get there, to get that opportunity, to get that chance. And then once they're there long term. And, we've a lot of, stories that you can tell about, somebody that had that second chance opportunity and have now worked their way up, a couple of, promotions now and been there for 10 years, because they got that opportunity. So we're really trying to diversify and build a pipeline of untapped ability and skills in a lot of different niches that some people don't go to, right? Or are not aware of. So we're trying, again, we're here to service the manufacturers across the state, and we're looking under every rock, behind every tree, whatever you want to call it. We're looking everywhere to find those candidates that could really help the manufacturers across the state. Selim, you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I think that's right where we're going with it. And I do want to say that we also take our time with vetting the right people to be into the training, because like Matt had mentioned, we have lots of people that want to join the training, but are they really committed for the long term? And so that's definitely something that we look at, and something that we've seen as a trend with serving the non-traditional workforce.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point. I think a lot of people would probably have that as natural curiosity to ask as well. Do you find, Selena, that a lot of people have fears around, and I mean, I hate to put these in a negative tone because it really doesn't deserve that, but do you still fear, or hesitation, maybe, I guess, is what it is? Do you still feel that people have hesitation when it comes to tapping into the non-traditional workforce?
I'd say some, but I don't know if it's a fear, more so just not knowing. I find that employers generally have a big desire to learn how to support their workforce properly. And so, for example, with people coming in that have li limited English, how can they best support them on the shop floor? And assist with collaboration within the team, and so that's something that we've been hearing about recently, is the desire to have more language resources to better support their workforce.
And Haley, I want to just add to that, and what makes it work is really the candidates that we're putting through, right? As Selim said, we're vetting these candidates, we're making sure they're in the right position for the right reasons for the right outcome, right? And also, to that point, once they get hired and start working with the manufacturers are now calling back and saying, can I have another one just like Matt? Can I have another one just like Selena? And that's the piece. That third party verification is what helps propel and dismiss the myths, right? Of hiring individuals from behind the wall, or working with individuals with disability or who are neurodiverse. Having manufacturers talking to manufacturers about hiring people from our programs is what's helping to drive this process, but more importantly, helping to fill the roles that are needed within manufacturing across the state.
I think it's definitely one of those things, and I knowing that is a huge point in you saying about vetting the way that you said about how they're vetted properly. It takes I feel like it takes a little bit of that pressure off as well for that employer and for that manufacturer, right? Because a lot of these manufacturers you work with are very small. They maybe don't have an HR department. They are wearing many hats, and so you going through this process, matchmaking really to the best of both sides, right? So that it makes sense, and then it does add in that, then there becomes that, that engagement where they want to, the employers are giving to those because they want to be there. And it's reciprocated very heavily that then causes that longevity. And then that does allow, then it takes that pressure off of the manufacturer for them to be able to turn around and ask you, we want another one that has very similar tendencies or whatever it may be, or whatever the need is for that fit. So I think it's a nice piece to be able to offer to the manufacturers, where if you don't have an HR department or you're wearing many hats and you've got a lot of, to-dos and day-to-days, this is where we come in to kind of lighten that load a little bit. And it's very easy. We've always been able to explain that on the OpEx side, the operational excellence side, with our business development advisors and with our program managers and with our grants team. Like, it's very easy for us, but thankfully now we're able to show that we can do that in this as well, because we do have a more of a support structure that can offer that. So it's a great piece, another just notch, I guess, in our belt that we have.
We have a lot of notches. Got a lot of notches. So I'm curious, where do you guys see workforce development going in 2025? What trends do you see it following?
As Matt had mentioned, we have quite a few things on the docket for next year, but a lot of exciting things. Right now, our workforce training team is planning to launch 12 manufacturing cohorts, and in addition, starting the first cohort for our pre-apprenticeship program. And then a little backside knowledge, we have 10 to 12 trainees in each cohort. And then the same number, 10 to 12 trainees for our pre-apprenticeship. So we're planning on getting through at least 130 trainees by the end of 2025. So, we're hoping to assist a lot of manufacturers in getting them, qualified candidates that are going to be a good fit for their company.
That's great.
Incredible. So we're coming down to the time, and obviously there was a lot of information that was thrown around in this conversation, a lot of valuable information for the manufacturers listening. What do you guys think are the top three things that you want the manufacturers to take away from this podcast?
So, three quick things are we're here, we're not going away, and call us.
I
But
love
really,
it.
very good, very
but
good.
really, it's again, we're here to provide a solution, right? We're a workforce development team here to provide a solution to the manufacturers across the state. We're here to listen to you and address those needs. Secondly, reach out to us. If you have a hiring need, reach out to us. Whether we have a current candidate or not, we will assist in finding some other avenues with some of our community partners out there, like a Mass Hire, right? Or go to the veteran community that we're working with to find candidates who already have transferable skills that could fit your needs. So we're here to build that repository of openings and find, be of assistance in finding the correct fit for your positions. And then again, the trainings we're producing, we're developing qualified and vetted manufacturing candidates to meet your needs. So, it's an opportunity to not just bring in a warm body off the floor or off the street. We're bringing you candidates that really have the motivation, skill, and understanding that could really help you at the same time as helping them build a career.
We talked about this. Selena and I had a conversation one day, and we were talking, and I think she was just kind of, picking at my brain and asking, like, how do you see us? Like, what do we need to do? And I said to, I really do believe you guys are very similar as our business development advisors. You really do fall into that role where, but you have a niche, right? You're the workforce piece of that business development. So you're the workforce development. And I think that's one thing, you saying those things, Matt, it's important for the manufacturers to know that it is a resource. You have the expertise in it. You both have the backgrounds in this. You've done this, you've worked in it. You're both very hands-on. Because you both go through these trainings, correct? You sit and or have gone through them.
Yes, we have background or have participated in the trainings in the past. Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, I think what's great is we have, like you're saying, we have the solutions, and we're that's what the business development advisors do as well. They sit and they listen, and like you saying, how we get to know them first. It's a courting process, right? You're building this relationship with them, because it's very easy to go in somewhere and maybe just judge on the outside cover and go, oh, sure, I could tell you need this, that, and the other. But until you really lift the carpet up, which is what you say you do, and sit and listen and understand, a lot of times what a manufacturer wants is not what they need. And so you are now able to find a way to merge that together and say, okay, this might be what you want. This is what we're seeing that you need. And I think we can get a path for you to help you do that. And I feel like that's what you two are doing with this workforce development, with our workforce development piece of the organization, and with the programs and the what you're putting together in these trainings and the cohorts and the pre-apprenticeship, and bridging that gap. So, kudos to the two of you, and hopefully the manufacturers are listening and going, we need to learn, and we want to get involved with them, and we need to understand them more. So, we obviously
And
have.
if you want to get involved with them, you can go to massmep.org, go over to our contact us page, and then there's going to be a drop down that will tell us exactly what you're looking for, what service you're looking for, and the workforce development team is right there. You reach out to us, just give us a brief description on what you're looking for, and we'll get you in the right hands.
Off to Selena and Matt Land, you will go. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I think it's, even today, I was at an event and we sat and we listened to a couple of startups. And what's interesting is, like I said, what they want and what they need. And then almost what their vision is too. And sitting and listening to them, and they're talking about there are these three startups and what they do and each one of them and where they're going is really interesting. One of them I think would be a really kind of cool fit for you guys to maybe get connected with. And Christy had some more in-depth conversation. But again, it was they have this vision, right? And their passion is what drives them. And a lot of times the passion and what they see, you have these little voices here on your shoulder saying, yeah, but don't forget about this, that, and the other, because there's really basic components that are important for them for this business to kind of escalate and take off and to be successful. And so that's where we come into play for that. And now having this extra element that we've never had before is a new way to do it. But they just don't think about those pieces because they're running the business, right? They're just in it. They're doing it day to day, and that's what's important. So, I think it's great that you pulled it, wrapped it together for them, and gave them the 3 points. So hopefully they listen, they get connected, and we'll you guys are, and I know you're more than willing to go and visit places too, right?
Yes,
Yes, we were out
Absolutely.
today. Today
Yeah.
is the day trips. We're going to do another event after this too. So yes, we're out and about wherever we need to go.
All right. So you'll be, do you carry Sharpies with you then too, Matt and Selena, just in case you need to sign
I
toast?
let Selena do that.
Oh,
She carries the Sharpies. I carry the pen.
okay. Good to know. Good to know who's doing the autographing for this group then. Yeah, we'll get you famous before you know it. But
True, true.
And if I can, Kevin will sign copies of toasters. If
Yeah.
anybody manufacturers out there, you build them or you want to take a picture, send it. Kevin will sign and return it to you. He has. I have one on my wall. I can
Listen,
tell.
Kevin, how has nobody sent you a 3D printed toaster yet?
I don't know.
Like, what is going on?
I don't know. We'll need to make that happen.
These additive manufacturers and 3D printing, if you're listening right now, you gotta print us a 3D toaster.
Please.
Well, thank you, Selena, and thank you, Matt, for joining us today. We appreciate it. Thanks for taking time out of your day to sit here and be with us. And thanks for everyone else to listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast. And we'll see you next time.
See you.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcast, or you can always go to our website at massmep.org.
We'll see you next time, whether it's in
our space,
your space,
or cyberspace.